If you are running a marketing team or even just wrestling with budget allocation, you know the core problem in modern business. There's this massive amount of data, but very little actual foresight. We've got more consumer information than ever before. I mean, purchase histories, clicks, what people are saying online, but turning that roaring data tsunami into a real reliable prediction about what people will do next. That's the strategic challenge. Today, we're taking a deep dive into a methodology that's designed to solve exactly that. We've got this detailed source document here outlining a really robust framework. It's called a Consumer Brand Loyalty and Switching Forecast Dashboard. And this isn't just about looking at past sales. It's a systematic four-stage process. It's designed to transform that messy, raw customer history into a precise forecast of who is going to leave and, crucially, when. So our mission in this deep dive is to break down these four stages called discover, design, deploy, and drive. We really want to show you exactly how this kind of structured approach can build a single actionable strategy from the ground up. It's sort of a shortcut to understanding predictive strategy at a really high level.
And that structure is, well, it's absolutely where the value is. What's so fascinating here is that this methodology forces a certain rigor on the process. It makes a brand look beyond just, vanity metrics or these generic high-level guesses. It guarantees that every single step, from the first bit of data you collect to the final action you take, is methodical, it's comprehensive, and most importantly, it's quantifiable. So the brand can actually forecast what consumers might do and make proactive decisions instead of just, running around putting out fires after the fact.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's jump right into that foundation, discover. Before you can turn on any kind of forecasting engine, you need the right fuel. So if a brand wants to start predicting loyalty, what is the absolute foundational data we have to collect first?
Well, the discover phase is kind of like the heel, the archaeology of consumer behavior. We're digging up the history we need. You need three specific layers of data to even begin building a reliable model. Think of them as the DNA of the customer-brand relationship. First, and this is the most obvious one, is the complete consumer purchase history. That's the basics, right? What they bought, how much, how recently, all of that. Second, we look at their stated and, more importantly, their inferred brand preferences. And third, and this is critical for a switching model, you have to analyze their historical switching patterns. Not just that they left, but who they left for and when.
I want to pause on those two middle points for a second. When you say brand preferences, are we talking about what they say on a survey, or is this more about their digital footprint, what they do, not what they say, and how is that different from their historical switching patterns?
That's a crucial distinction. It's a mix of both. But honestly, the most powerful data is inferred. It's what the customer does. We track which product features they engage with, how they respond to different prices. We're essentially establishing their normal behavior. The historical switching patterns, though, that's the hard evidence of past volatility. It tells us if they're the kind of consumer who just bounces between brands, or if they're normally loyal and only left once because of, I don't know, a bad experience. If they switch often, they just have a high tendency to switch no matter what they tell you. So these three things, history, preference, and tendency, that's the only way to see the trends before you can even start to measure risk.
That makes sense. But what if the data isn't great? The classic garbage in, garbage out problem. Does this framework account for that?
It has to. That's why the validation step in this phase is so important. If the data's a bit sparse, say for a new customer, the system might have to use demographic data as a placeholder at first. But for established customers, the methodology really requires a solid purchase history, often, 12 to 24 months, to make sure the trends are real. If you don't have that history, you can't move to the next stage with any confidence. The whole model depends on it.
Okay, so we've gathered the DNA. We have the history, the preferences, all of that. But data is just, well, data. The real trick is turning that massive, messy pile of information into a single, clean predictor. And that brings us to stage two, design. How does the system turn all that information into a metric that basically screams, this person is at risk?
Right, this is the core quantification step. The whole goal here is to compute one powerful single metric for every single consumer. It's called the switching score. It's on a scale from 0 to 1, and it's absolutely central to the entire analysis. A score closer to one means the model thinks the customer is on the verge of leaving. And importantly, this isn't just some simple average. It's a complex weighted calculation. We're using things like recency, frequency, and monetary value, the classic RFM model, but we're layering volatility metrics right on top of them.
Volatility metrics, can you expand on that? What specific things are being weighted to push that score up toward one?
Certainly. The score heavily weights three specific inputs that we get from that discover phase. First, their frequency decline. So if their purchase rate suddenly drops compared to their own average, that's a big red flag. Second, their monetary decline, so smaller basket sizes. And third, and this is the most critical, is that historical switching tendency we just talked about. If they've bought three different brands in this category in the last year, their score is just inherently higher. They've proven they're willing to switch.
So someone who's always been loyal, but maybe bought 20% less last month, they might get a moderate score. But someone who already has a history of jumping ship, A&D, who bought 20% less, that combination sends their score skyrocketing toward 0.9 or 1.0?
Exactly. The score is designed to capture that momentum towards switching.
Yeah.
And once we have that precise metric, we combine it with a few other things to categorize the entire population. This is how the system organizes everyone into these really actionable segments.
And these segments are the three definitive categories, right? Let's list those out. Why does putting them in a bucket matter for taking action?
Right. The population gets sorted into three essential buckets: loyal, at risk, and churn. Loyal consumers, they have a high frequency, low switching score. They're stable. At-risk consumers are the critical group. They might still be buying, but their high switching score tells us they're actively looking at other options. And then, of course, churn consumers have either stopped buying completely or they've crossed some threshold of inactivity where the model just considers them lost.
I think the power there is that it moves a brand from these vague ideas of happy customers to something quantifiable. That at-risk group is a clear call to action.
Is there a specific industry where you've seen this kind of system just completely flip their strategy?
Oh, subscription services.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Before this kind of scoring, a streaming service might only focus on who canceled, you know, the churn category. But once they start calculating the switching score, they realize their most valuable resource is actually that at-risk bucket. They can now see a user who is, say, watching less than 10 hours a month and hasn't opened the app in a week, even though they're still paying. That kind of identification just shifts the entire retention budget away from generic offers to really personalized, targeted interventions for that specific group. That's a perfect illustration. So we've categorized them based on the past and the present, but categories are static. To be proactive, you have to look into the future. And that brings us to stage three, deploy, the actual forecasting. This is where it gets really interesting. What's the technical engine this framework uses to predict where those at-risk customers are heading?
This stage relies on a powerful simulation using what's called Markov chain transitions. This is the prediction engine. Essentially, the mechanism models state changes. It calculates the probability of a consumer moving from their current state loyal, at risk, or churn to any of the other states within a set period of time.
Okay, for those of us who don't have a PhD in mathematical modeling, can we clarify what a Markov chain is actually doing here? I always hear the weather analogy. That's a great place to start. Think about it like this. If it's sunny today, there's maybe an 80% chance it'll be sunny tomorrow and a 20% chance it'll be cloudy. The Markov chain just establishes those probabilities based on history. So if you're currently in the loyal state, the model looks at everyone else like you and says, okay, there's a 95% chance you'll stay loyal next month, a 4% chance you'll move to at-risk, and a 1% chance you'll churn. And crucially, this is where the model is so powerful and efficient. It's what's known as a memoryless process. This means to predict tomorrow, it only needs to know about today. It doesn't need to reanalyze the customer's entire five-year history every single time. It simplifies everything down to those three categories and just focuses on the probability of the very next move.
Right. That memoryless aspect is key, isn't it? It makes the model fast. It doesn't care that I didn't like the brand back in 2018. It only cares that I'm categorized as at risk right now and what the data says people like me usually do next. Precisely. It strips away all that historical noise and focuses on the most immediate influential factor, the current risk score. And then the system runs a simulation based on those probabilities.
And what's the specific output from that simulation? What's the time frame we're talking about?
The simulation is designed to predict consumer brand switching behavior over the next 6 months. That six-month window is seen as the sweet spot for strategic action. The main output is the predicted switch probability. It's a direct forecast for every single customer, detailing the likelihood they will leave within that time frame. This moves the brand from just knowing the current risk to actually forecasting future losses.
6 months is a real runway. That gives a marketing team time to actually craft an intervention rather than realizing a customer left 3 months ago. Okay, so we've gathered the data, we've quantified the risk, and we've predicted the future. That leaves us with the final and maybe the most critical step, drive, the so what phase, turning all this analysis into actual business actions. What are the big goals these predictions are meant to serve?
Well, the insights are all designed to serve three very concrete goals, all centered around profitability. First, it allows brands to massively improve retention. You're focusing only on those at-risk customers with a high probability of switching. It's cost-effective. Second, you can optimize loyalty programs. You stop wasting high-value rewards on people who are already loyal and instead focus them on stabilizing that volatile group. And third, they just radically refine targeted marketing campaigns because you now have these hyper-segmented lists.
But the sheer amount of data we've talked about, switching scores, mark-off transitions, six-month predictions, it sounds overwhelming for a brand manager who isn't a data scientist. How does the system package this up so it's actually usable on a Monday morning?
It's all delivered through tailored visualizations and really concise data tools. Managers get three essential things. First, category distribution charts to see the overall health of the customer base. You know, is the at-risk bucket growing? Second, the predictive probabilities. That's the core list of who needs attention now, ranked by risk. And third, and this is incredibly powerful, the brand switching heat maps.
Let's focus on those heat maps. The critique noted we needed more here. How does a visual heat map drive a strategy that's any different from just sending out a coupon?
The heat maps are the key to competitive action.
Yeah.
They don't just show a customer moving from loyal to at risk. They visualize a transition from your brand to brand X or to brand Y. So if the heat map shows that 60% of your switching customers are going to brand X and brand X is a low-cost competitor, your retention strategy has to be about aggressive pricing. Maybe a discount. But if the heat map shows they're switching to brand Y, which is a premium high service competitor, a discount is useless. It won't work. The retention strategy there needs to be about service enhancements or faster delivery or exclusive access. The heat map tells you why they are leaving, which lets you tailor the perfect tactic to keep them. It's the difference between one generic campaign and two or three really surgical segment-specific strategies.
That really makes the whole process feel complete. We started with raw history and discover, used the switching score to categorize risk and design, ran the Markov chains to forecast movement and deploy, and finally translated it into strategy with heat maps in Drive. It really is a systematic, continuous loop focused entirely on efficiency.
It is. It's that paradigm shift from being reactive, you know, waiting for a complaint, to being truly proactive.
Yeah.
Every marketing dollar you spend, every retention offer you send out is now justified by a calculated probability derived directly from this deep framework.
And that leads us to the final provocative thought for you to consider today. If a brand can calculate your likelihood of leaving down to two decimal places, your switching score, and then use a model like a Markov chain to predict your behavior over the next 6 months with pretty high accuracy, what does brand loyalty even mean anymore? Is it a real emotional connection between you and a product? Or, with this level of insight, is it just a calculated probability waiting to be manipulated by a targeted marketing intervention that's designed specifically to push that probability back in the brand's favor?